League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Delatory.
Same corner, same time. We in camp. How y'all boys feeling?
Feeling good. Getting back into it. Dan asked me before we started, he was like, how was your weekend? I was like, it just worked. Worked through the weekend.
Yeah, Nick, you're back at the football facility for what is probably, what, a 30 or 40 minute round trip for you for 15 minutes. But at least we're here. Fall camp is back. We made it through the doldrums.
Yes, yes. My favorite time of the year, man. It's football season. Getting it crunk up. Eventful first week of camp, I would say. Or first few practices. Pretty interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, lying season's back, and as three very notable liars, we're back.
I would never. Swing.
You have negative lies, Nick.
I would never lie. Lies. I would never lie.
I think you lied about QB2. We'll talk about it a little bit.
I think so, Nick. I think so. How was your boys' weekend? Good? Before we get into everything, good?
Yeah, pretty solid. Didn't get into a whole lot. Back to school shopping. The kids go back to school this week. So I was in the thick of the mall and Walmart and Target yesterday. So, you know, I'm a little exhausted from that. Outside of that, bro, not a whole lot going on. Just back to school. My days back.
Tomorrow?
Thursday, actually.
Thursday, okay. I think they go back here in Hillsboro. Maybe tomorrow. Don't have kids, very notably. Have zero kids to report on my end. So I think they come back here. I want to shout out a buddy of mine on Saturday. Outside of him graduating from the University of Georgia, so definitely a flawed human being, but he invited me out to play the old Memorial Golf Course here in Tampa. I think it's about as exclusive as you're going to get in terms of membership. He's got a client of his or somebody that he knows that's a member. $125,000 to join. Yeah, just an absurd amount of wealth there. This is my second time playing. The first time I saw your boy, Ken Griffey Jr. out there with the Barber twins, who are both members. But I sat down on Saturday morning because you have to like change your shoes and all that in the locker room. They have very strict rules about cell phone usage and all that. Sat down, changed my shoes, turned over my right shoulder, Vinny Testaverde's locker. I walk out to get into a cart to go over to the driving range, and I see none other than Tampa Bay Lightning legends Braden Point and Alex Killorn step out of their G-Wagon for just a great round of golf. It must have been 718 degrees outside, but I want to shout out my boy Marin, who does a lot of listening to this pod to report back to his Georgia fans, our friends, pardon me, about what's going on in Gator Nation. But shout out to Merritt for letting me play. That's one of those things that you just don't get to do very often.
Sounds luxurious.
It was.
Elite name dropping, bro. I can't compete with that, bro. I cannot compete with that.
Different kind of name dropping. Had a bunch of people come up to me on Saturday in open practice saying they listened to the pod. So appreciate all you guys for listening, showing love out of practice. And we'll get more into that. But that's always cool. That's always cool when someone comes up and says they appreciate the pod or the work you put in. It's not a $125,000 country club.
I'm not a member, you know what I mean? So I just appreciate having people that are richer than me or a little bit more well-connected that that invite me out there to make the list. Quick shout out to all the people that are watching on YouTube. If you could hit that like button, the subscribe button, the share button, do whatever, all of that kind of fun stuff helps us get out to more and more people, which allows us to grow and continues to allow us to be the voice of the people, the pot of the people, whatever we want to call ourselves. But Chris Sorley here in the comments saying, "What's up, Nick? Great to see you." Follows that up with, "I thought you were taller, LOL."
That edit made me. Rob on Twitter is a menace.
Rob, okay.
I think it's just Rob. He tweeted at Silk today, put me on like Aaron Hernandez, like holding the gun into the mirror.
Made just me nervous.
But he photoshopped my head onto a small child dapping up Billy Napier Saturday at the Florida Victorious event.
Yeah, so let's dive into that. Before we do that, as always, we're going to shout out our friend Alan Horn with State Farm Insurance. Got a lot of good content to get to today. Alan Horn in Jasper, Georgia. If you are in Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, or Alabama, and you are looking for any kind of insurance policy, whether it is car, automotive, property and casualty, renters, life, whatever it might be, give him a call, 706-692-2888, or visit him at alanhorninsurance.com. Always shop your rates. Alan is a State Farm representative. So again, 706-692-2888 in Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, or Alabama. Nick, let's get into just this week of practice as a whole. And I do want to make sure that we touch on that Florida Victorious event after, which I think that we all agreed was really, really cool that they did. But we are 24 days away from the start of football where the Gators will kick off against the Utah Utes. It is absolutely just – it is crazy. I know you guys are both going out there. But, Nick, the last few weeks – our last few days of practice, give me an update. What are you seeing? What are you not seeing? All that kind of stuff.
Well, we'll start with quarterback. I think I don't think we can even talk about who QB1 is. It's pretty clear that Graham Mertz has taken on a leadership role. He's taking most of those reps. He's performing the best. I think we're just waiting on Billy Napier to say it publicly and make it official. But I think Graham has kind of separated himself. I've been impressed a little bit with Max Brown. I think he looks a lot better this fall than he maybe even during the spring. He's a little more accurate, footwork's a little tighter. And in his athleticism, his running ability, I think gives you something different that the other two quarterbacks don't have. Not to say that they're Peyton Manning or they're a statue, but Max is just a better runner than they are. So I think maybe QB2 battle, but even watching practice Saturday, when we get to see everything more than just the 15 minutes that we typically get, there's a clear 1-2-3 with Mertz, Miller, and then Brown. And I just wonder if you try to get Max Brown because of that athleticism involved somehow. And I asked Billy that last week, and it did not sound like that was in the plans or in the cards yet. But I think we do have some clarification on the quarterback.
Yeah, I think that we kind of all expected when Graham Mertz came to Florida that he would be the starter. I think his expectation was to be the starter, and I think that it was going to take a lot to supplant him. Nick Silk, want to get your thoughts. Assuming that Graham Mertz is the starter, you have a backup between either Jack Miller or Max Brown. Jack Miller, obviously the more seasoned upperclassman, Max Brown, the redshirt freshman there. If they are even, do you guys have a preference over which one you would choose as a backup, assuming that they're even and obviously also know that there's more to it than what we see? But my opinion, just throwing that out there, is if they're even, I put Max Brown. Biggest reason there is You have a longer runway with him. You have the opportunity to build and enhance his skill set as he grows in the program, and obviously has a longer window. But what are y'all's thoughts?
I don't know that they're even. I don't know what situation Max would come in. Maybe if Graham Mertz breaks his ankle in the first drive against Utah, I think you go to Jack Miller. If the offense is stalling at some point during the season in a game, maybe you have a package that involves some options, some other stuff that can utilize Max Brown's athleticism, and then he would come in spots. But I don't know that if you had to turn the offense over to one or the other, I don't know that Max Brown would be ahead of Miller right now.
My thing, I haven't seen any flashes from Jack Miller to make me think he should be QB2. I haven't seen a whole lot, but from the flashes I've seen of Max Brown, he looks like the better QB right now. Depends on who was at practice. A lot of people think that he has surpassed Jack Miller when it pertains to just overall quarterback play. I just haven't seen. We've seen Jack play. I know he was missing some guys in the bowl game, but I didn't see any flashes in that game, regardless of losing and who wasn't there. I just didn't see any flashes in the spring game. Same thing. I didn't see anything that said he was even pressing Mertz for a real quarterback competition. I don't think he really applied any pressure. From the flashes I've seen, knowing Max Brown athleticism, some of the throws he's making that I've seen in these clips, I just think he's going to be QB2. We'll let camp continue to play out. Mm-hmm. I do like what Nick said. For if it's game one, maybe a lot of mm-hmm. pressure, and there's not a lot of experience from Max Brown with game time. So it'd be tough if Merz was to go down in Utah, putting him on the field, on the road. That's a different situation. But overall skill set and what I've seen in small clips and small sample size, I just think it's going to be Max Brown for QB2.
Obviously, we've talked a lot about leadership with Graham Mertz and everything else, but Nick, what you've seen, obviously a lot of those clips have also made it onto the internet now, so I think most fans have seen most of what you guys see, but what are you seeing out of him that has him so far ahead? Is it the crispness? Is it the crispness of his passes? Is it the understanding of the offense and where players should be? Obviously, you're only catching, maybe 5-8% of the practice, but what are you hearing or seeing out of him?
Well, what we've heard is that he's become a leader, and the I was cynical, I'll say, when everyone was like, he's the first one in and last one out, and I was like, yeah, mm-hmm. he has to be. He spent 3 years in an offense. Now he's got only 2 years left to play. He's playing catch up in this new offense. Of course, he's the first one in and last one out. But that made an impression on guys, made an impression on the staff. And Graham is, I think, the kind of guy that is going to do all the little things, even if that's like picking up somebody else's pads or picking up the locker room. No like task is too big for him. I think he's just one of the guys, and that's helped him fit in. And I think the biggest thing with him is that as he gets more comfortable, the ball's coming out on time. The ball's going where it needs to. I think he processes information well. And listen, he's not going to be asked to be Kyle Trask in 2020. He's not going to be asked to be Danny Werfel. He's not going to throw the ball 40 times a game. This is an offense, I think, that's going to try to run the football, try to control the clock, and Graham just needs to keep defenses honest, hit those short passes, intermediate passes. Every once in a while when the defense starts creeping up, hit a play action, hit something down. I think right now, if that's what you're going to ask of him, manage the game, make the plays that you're supposed to make, dump the ball down when you need to. I think he's more than capable of doing that.
All right. Mm. All right. Let's see. Let's get into the first of the practices this week. And then ultimately we had an open scrimmage on Saturday.
About 1,000 practice.
People. Yeah. Open practice. Sorry. Open practice, about 1,000 people. It looks like we're there. But Nick, walk us through a little bit of that that open practice that we saw on Saturday. First time the Gators have done it, I think, in 8 years. Obviously, we will talk about Ricky Pearsall and Devin Moore, who missed that practice. And we'll talk a little bit about Shamar James here in a minute. But what'd you think of the overall event in the practice itself?
Yeah, it's interesting. A couple of the writers have been asking players and coaches, you know, how different practices are now than they used to be. Like when Silk was playing, I'm sure there were 2 days, 3 days in the summer.
Yeah, 3 days in JUCO, bro.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, I think I'm liable to some type of compensation. You know, I've been been waiting for this whole, you know, a big lawsuit to pop up and I'm going to join in, bro. But we did 3 days.
But that's like, that's not it now. You know, there's hardly any tackling. There's no Oklahoma drills. I think the biggest thing to see was, okay, when Ricky Pearsall isn't there, who stands out? And to me, Caleb Douglas stood out. Eugene's Trey Wilson stood out. I was encouraged to see Micah Mazzucca playing contact, even in a non-contact jersey, going through reps. And then even more encouraging maybe is seeing Najee Harris being the guy that's taking first team reps when Mike is not in there. And I think that speaks volumes just to what he was able to do in the spring and the kind of player he is. So I think it's really hard to play as a freshman offensive lineman, but he's going to get the opportunity this year. So I don't know why I saw a lot of hate or negative comments towards the offensive line. I don't think they were bad. But it's a football practice. They didn't really do, you know, too much team stuff. There's no tackling. They'll scrimmage this week, I think Thursday. So we'll try to get some information out of that where they're actually, you know, going game speed. But right now you're five practices in and still installing. I think some encouraging things, but it was just the fifth practice of fall camp.
Silk, anything that you heard or saw or commentary on that or your thoughts just on open practice as a whole?
I'm just liking the vibes from here. I've been saying this for a few months. I expect the defense to be good to elite. I just have high expectations for that front seven. Still some answers that I want to hear at the safety position, but I like what I heard I'm hearing from safety as well. But I like the overall, you know, the energy from the offense. I like that, you know, Mercer is looking like a leader. You know, Shane Matthews, who's a former quarterback, he does content as well. He's pretty spot on with the quarterbacks in the past, you know, whether it was AR, Trask, or whoever it may be. He's been pretty spot on. So just paying attention to a lot of what he's saying. He's high on Mertz. He thinks Mertz is more than capable. He's going to have a good season. The run game is going to be official. I like the young boys stepping in. Pearsall was out. They say he was under the weather, but Andy Jean, Eugene Wilson, he's out of injury protocol and took off the non-contact jersey. But it's a lot of just explosiveness every time he touched the ball. So I'm excited. I spoke about Arliss Bordenham last show as well, and I think he's going to have a breakout season. I've been seeing a lot of that, and that was before camp started. I've just been seeing a lot of highlights, pictures, and flashes, and people singing his praise a little bit. So I'm higher up on the offense than I was before. I'm not terribly worried about the offensive line. Depth could be a issue, but if we stay healthy for the most part, like I don't have a whole lot of concerns right now with the offense. I do want to see us play competition that's not us, because there could be some familiarity, you know, in them knowing our defense and being able to get some stuff off. But I'm super excited about the secondary. The guys I've seen as far as DBs with the freshman Jordan Castell, Jakeen, all those guys are showing great footwork, great technique. You know, a lot of, you know, and even the energy from Austin Armstrong, seeing him at the open practice, him getting super excited and running out to the field, it's good energy. It's good camp energy. Haven't seen any camp fights or any disgruntled stuff. So just good positive energy, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think the offensive line might be a concern for me just depth-wise. Like, I think
right
now I'd say, like, Barber, Mazzucca, Ogwakin, Richie Leonard, Damian George, Najee Harris, Jake Slaughter, maybe Jordan Herman, maybe Riley Simons. I just don't know, like, if you have any kind of injuries, I just don't know what the line looks like there after that. And it's a team that you need that offensive line to be kind of the identity of your offense if you're going to be a running if you're going to be a running team.
Right. Let's get into a little bit more about some things that Billy Napier said. So we're just going to bounce around a little bit here. When it comes to QB2, Billy Napier mentioned on Thursday that Max has made improvement. I think he's a classic example of a really good athlete that just started playing quarterback a few years ago in high school. The guy can run. He's gained 8 or 9 pounds of lean muscle. There's no doubt his accuracy's improved. I think he's cleaned up his footwork. Pardon me. His stroke is much more consistent. And I think that there's some knowledge that contributes to that table in terms of understanding the system. So I think Max has come along pretty nicely. He's got to catch up mentally, but his work ethic this summer has impressed the staff and impressed the players. He's kind of got it right there in Graham's hip pocket, and he's played the way you'd want a quarterback to work. I know that we also mentioned Eugene Wilson. Silk, you mentioned was off of his non-contact jersey. He's obviously showing some excellent footwork in some of the routes that we've seen. And let's see, Montrell Johnson, Trevor Etienne, obviously have been nothing short of what we expected them to be. But also I know that Cam Carroll has impressed as well. And we're going to break down the running back room as well. Silk, you mentioned Artis Boilingham. I know you mentioned Andy Jean as well. A lot of people that are excited about them. So from an offensive perspective, Nick, from what you've seen thus far, and they're playing against each other and they're just practicing, but are you more optimistic or just as optimistic, which was not much, based on what you've seen so far?
It's interesting because I think the best players on the team are like transfers or those young guys, and how do they react? What's their performance in week one when it's brand new and you're on the road, mm-hmm. and it's 8 p.m. prime time? I like Andy Jean. I like Eugene Wilson a lot. And the running backs, I think Cam Carroll is someone we don't talk about enough. I was talking ignorant. I was like, what is this dude doing coming here to come and run behind these two guys who almost ran for 1,000 yards each last year? And I think he came in with a purpose, and he's the best pass catcher, in my opinion, in the running back room. So I think he'll find the field. I'm a little more encouraged. I think Arliss Boardingham, based on the reps, he's behind Zanders and Odom. But he just has a whole different game than anyone else that is going to play in that tight end room this year. And I think you have to figure out ways to get him on the field and get him the ball.
But that's kind of to be expected, Silk. And I want to get your thoughts there, too. Arliss Boardingham didn't play much. I think he's still considered a redshirt freshman, right? Yeah, so he had some injuries. A guy that Florida recruited, obviously, late into Billy Napier, or late in that recruiting class, a guy that Billy Napier was able to convince to choose over, I know, Oregon. I think Southern Cal was involved there, too. Anyway, a guy that, you know, fans seemingly were excited about, didn't know much about him last year. You know, the Gators are trying to figure it out on offense. We don't see much out of the tight end position. But Zanders, who's been with the team since, I think he was in Spurrier second or third class that he signed.
him and Andre DeBose.
Yeah, him and Andre DeBose. and then you have Odom. Obviously, you have the injury to Zipper as well. And Boardingham has, you know, seemingly done really well. But it should be expected that a redshirt freshman that didn't play at all last year would probably be behind those guys, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily indicative of how little or anything he might play in the offense. Is that kind of a good way to break it down right now?
Yeah, you got to lose the job, you know? And I think that's what happens during camp. So he'll work his way up the depth chart, and then the situational ball as well. I think when it's time to get the ball to the tight end, your number one choice is going to have to be Arliss Boardingham. Even Tony Livingston. I want to see how he continues to mature mm-hmm. this camp. But the guys that can go up and get the ball, separate, you know, have a different type of twitch and athleticism, you got to get those guys the ball. He's like our Eugene Wilson at tight end. You just got to find a way to create mismatches. You're going to get safeties or a linebacker that it's going to be a problem for either one of those positions to try to cover a guy like that. But mm-hmm. I expect him to ascend up the depth chart, and regardless of what they put, you know, as starters when they put it out, We'll see what the snap count look like and what type of plays we run. But I expect him to get majority of the passing reps. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, I don't know if they want him in there doing a lot of the blocking if we're going run heavy. But if it's in pass situation, goal line situation, you need mismatches. You got to use Arliss, man. He's just different.
Big, goes up and gets it. Can run with the ball after. I've been really, really impressed with him. Maybe it's a blocking thing. And maybe they just don't feel as comfortable with him blocking as they do Odom and Zanders. But like I said, he just brings something different that the other tight ends don't bring right now. And not saying that Tony Livingston can't be that or Hayden Hansen can't be that, but they're not there right now.
Yeah, I think those guys, you got a scheme open. I don't think they're just going to be man beaters, right? And they could just line up and beat somebody. So while they could probably block better, and I expect that because that's their strong suit. They're bigger tight ends. And I expect Arliss Bornhan to become a better blocker as he stay in the weight room, get bigger. Next year, his sophomore year, it's going to be a little different all the way around for the whole tight end spot for him. But yeah, those guys, you got a scheme open. And I don't know if we have a tight end scheme open offense, but if you just need a man beater, you got to get guys like Arliss on the field. It's going to be interesting. I did like some of even Caleb Douglas got to hold on to the ball a little bit. I want to see him shore up his hands, especially after that Florida State game last year. But I like what I saw out of the wide receiver spot, you know, all the way around. I like the young boys that are pushing the depth chart and pushing for minutes. Mm-hmm. And I like some of the veteran guys that we got out there. But same thing, like some of the starters that's out there, like they on the clock. Like Frazier's, I like his skill set, but he's on the clock. These young boys is playing to take reps and take snaps. So he may start the Utah game, but if he's not making plays and he's not separating and making it easy for Merz, you're going to have to put a guy like Mazzell, you know, Andy Jean, Eugene Wilson, guys that can run routes, separate, and make the job a little bit easier for the quarterback. So it's going to start a certain way, and it's going to, you know, a few games in, you're going to see the depth chart start to shift a little bit.
Yeah, to me, outside of or after Pearsall, Caleb Douglas has been the best receiver, in my opinion. I'd put him ahead of Jaquavion Frazier's already. And then I agree with you. Those young guys, especially as the game starts to slow down, they get more reps, they start to get more comfortable on the field. I think those guys, you'll start to see them get more playing time, get more run. Because I think Andy Jean, who did I compare him to? I said, like, Antonio Callaway, Van Jefferson. Nice. Like, he's polished. Yeah. Just a polished route runner, just like just a mature football player already. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the way he attacks a lot of these guys. I'm gonna be real. I like the way they attacked the offseason this year as freshmen. They were dead ass serious as far as getting better and putting the work in. Even with Arliss Bornhan, I wasn't just high on him because of his skill set, but I saw the work that a lot of these guys were putting in. It was serious work, and you started seeing their body change a lot. So yeah, Andy Jean is an absolute professional when it comes to route running, you know, working out, preparation, all of that's major. Callaway was a professional in certain aspects, but he was lacking some maturity in others. So Andy Jean just seems like he's well-rounded in all aspects.
Yeah, absolutely. Silk, your thoughts, a little bit easier to see the field as a freshman at wide receiver than certainly some other positions, right?
Yeah, the further you're away from the ball, the easier it is as a freshman. So, like, just telling a guy to run a slant or this is your route in the huddle, you don't have to know the entire playbook. But being able to give guys like him who just super talented, you got to get on the field, yeah, coach them up in the huddle, let them know what they got to do if they don't grasp the playbook. Because I don't know what his comprehension of the entire playbook is. But if he's struggling, you teach guys like that. Even Eugene Wilson, who didn't have a spring football, he's coming a little bit later than the other receivers like Mazzell and Gene. Man, you just tell that guy, hey, we're going to throw you a quick bubble screen over here. And you do what you do, bro. We're going to get out of your way. So you just got to teach those guys as you go. But you got to get the ball in their hands.
And yeah,
Seeing Eugene Wilson get a screen instead of Xavier Henderson, no slight to Xavier Henderson. They're my peoples. I rocks with the Hendersons. But it's a different type of screen you're throwing. You know, it's a different type of a bubble screen than a guy that's a lone strider that was a 400 runner, and you got a 100 meter runner that was one of the best in the state. It's a different vibe.
And then he came in and he was like squatting 400 plus, benching 300 plus. Just like, where'd that come from?
Thank you, Nick.
I want to give a quick thank you to our friend Stone Cold Drip Sauce Tin. You know, again,
sounds like my closet.
Yeah. We appreciate the super chat donation. We are going over that projected win total for sure, which I believe is 5.5, depending on the sports book. 5.5, 6.5. But I agree. You know, Florida does have a very tough schedule this year. But again, you know, all signs are pointing to maybe this isn't the dire straits that that some people on this podcast may have made it seem like in the spring.
Yeah, the schedule's never going to get easier, man. By the way.
Say Dan, what?
Talking greasy.
Dan was talking greasy earlier. Just
no.
Crazy
no.
Negative.
All right, let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. Before we do that, go support the Gataverse. Go visit them at gataverse.io. Again, you will be able to help Florida Gator student athletes. We had talked about the TBT that was sponsored by the Gataverse last week. They did end up losing to Maryland 77-74. Corey Brewer at 27 points. They'll be back next year. They're going to do another event and everything else. I know that was a ton of fun. Also, they now have a signed Trevor Etienne autograph card on their website. Cards come with a meet and greet with him at the end of the season, as well as some merchant discounts that will be announced very soon. So again, go visit gataverse.io. They are supporting dozens of athletes at the University of Florida, and this money directly helps them. So again, gataverse.io. Let's get into the defensive side of the ball here real quick. I want to shout out my boy Ross that just texted me that he's on a flight and he's watching us live. So hello, Ross.
Shout out to Ross.
Ross got that Wi-Fi on the plane, man.
He sure does. Yeah. He's flying business class to Hawaii right now.
He got a membership to the golf club too.
No. He lives up in Atlanta. Let's see. The Gators practiced without Shamar James. We'll talk a little bit about that lower body injury. Was seen walking around with a brace on his left knee. Actually, Nick, let's do pause there. Any update there, or maybe not as big of a deal as maybe fans might think, or give us the update.
We haven't got anything solid from Billy. We'll talk to him Monday around 12:30, but from the people I've talked to inside the building, they're not giving the vibe or the sense that it's a serious knee injury. Billy went like hockey coach, Dan.
Lower body injury, Nick.
It's a lower left quadrant, not even left, just lower quadrant.
Lower quadrant, yeah.
A lower quadrant mishap.
Yeah, we have upper body injuries and lower body injuries in hockey. Mm-hmm. That's all they are.
Never a head injury, though? No concussions.
Never a head injury.
Broken knuckles.
That would be considered an upper body injury, considering your head is on the upper part. But I'd have to, double check my anatomy.
What's another broken knuckle? Lower or upper?
How do you? That would be an upper body injury because your arms are connected. Yeah.
But if my hands are down, my knuckles probably below my waist.
Yeah, but your arms themselves connected at the upper body. You know. Now you're getting into semantics here. Anyway. Yeah,
I like semantics. I heard from Shamar, that everything's okay. He's going through, you know, but I heard that there's nothing serious. He is injured, but it's nothing like season threatening or anything like that, man. So shout out to my guy.
He was out. He came out late on Saturday with his lower body in a brace.
Lower body?
That's not crazy. The whole thing, but if we're doing our hockey injuries, I can't tell you what part of the it was.
They need to do it like they used to do in the cartoons, where they just wrapped up your entire body. You're in like a wheelchair, both legs up.
Could you imagine the freak out if they would have like rolled Shamar James out in the body cast?
Man, listen, when they mentioned freak out the injury, from fans Twitter in the went stands. Crazy. Yeah, they went crazy when the injury happened. Bro, I can only imagine if he would have came out in a cask or something.
I think Shamar is going to be Florida's best linebacker, and it's encouraging that it's not going to be, you know, it's not an ACL, it's not going to be a long-term season-ending kind of thing. Trahaja Mitchell had I can't remember who he hit, but he had a massive hit near the goal line. Yeah.
Montrell.
Oh, on Montrell. And Montrell's a big dude. I feel good about that linebacker room. I think Derek Wingo's gotten a lot better. Manny Nunnery's a guy who I didn't think would really contribute other than special teams, and he's kind of been getting some run, especially with Shamar out with the twos.
Heard some good things about him. I said his name.
I've been hearing some vibrations about Manny Nunnery, dog. He might got an eye, Nick. I don't know.
He's very instinctual. He diagnoses plays really quickly and just gets to where he's supposed to be. There was one play that really stood out to me Saturday. It was like a little running play. I think it was like a cutback. And he kind of just stayed patient, saw the gap open up, and met whoever, I can't remember who the running back was, met the running back for no gain. So to me, that was impressive, just the way he diagnosed the play and got to where he needed to be, didn't get stuck in traffic, didn't run himself out of the play. Don't know that he's a starter, especially when Shamar comes back, but I think Florida's pretty deep there at that linebacker spot.
We have definitely Scooby and Derek Wingo is probably the likely people to pick up the slack there.
I think if you did like a three deep or a two deep, it would be Shamar, Trahaja, and then Wingo and Scooby behind them with Nunnery close behind.
Okay. Solid death.
And anything on Deuce Robinson, who was a transfer from Michigan?
I think he's all right. He hasn't flashed.
Young guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He really hasn't flashed to me at all. And then you can put Jaden Robinson, the true freshman, in there with him. I think he'll be a great player. It almost looks like he kind of sticks right by Trahaja a lot. It reminds me of like when Antonio Morrison got on campus. I can't remember. It might've been John Bostic, but like that first spring when Morrison got on campus, they were like, "Hey, just follow this dude around. Whatever he does, you do it." So
if he barks at somebody, you bark at them.
Well, maybe not the barking at the police dogs. Maybe just don't do that. But yeah, I'm encouraged by the linebackers. I think let's go to defensive line next. I went up and looked it up yesterday. Dez Watson played 386 snaps last year.
Might chop that in half.
That's wild. Gervon Dexter played more. Like Florida just didn't have any kind of depth. So when I can't remember what it was. It might have been the first game in Utah and someone's like showing, I think it was either G or Princely, like kind of jogging at during a play in the fourth quarter. And I'm like, yeah, that was his 64th play on the field that night. Mm-hmm. I think when you look at Florida's defensive line now with the depth they've gotten in with Banks and Cam Jackson adding into the middle with McClellan and Tyreek Sapp, Dez Watson, you've got enough guys to rotate and keep them healthy. It's not a Georgia thing like when Georgia was just rotating in five-star after five-star, but Florida finally has some depth at defensive tackle and enough guys where they don't have to play 45 snaps a game.
Yeah,
obviously Florida desperately needed depth on the defensive side of the ball, or the defensive line position group as a whole. Go and get a few players in the transfer portal to try to shore things up there. And now one of the other players that the Gators are excited about on the defensive line is Princely Umanmielen. Did we see much of him? Did we see much when it come to pass rushing? Now, obviously, you know, with any of these practices, you know, quarterbacks are in non-contact jerseys, as well as we're not tackling right now. You know, the quarterback just as a whole, or you know, when the play breaks down, you know, there's limited contact that they could have. So there is definitely some hamstringing of the defensive line and the push that they're able to. But it did seem like they were able to operate pretty aggressively in the videos that I've seen. That they might be even better than we had initially anticipated.
Yeah, I think. That's going to be a really, really good position. I think Justice Boone's a guy that Princely will get gets talked about probably the most, you know, wearing that Uno now. He's kind of changed his body. I think he looks a lot leaner now. Justice Boone is a guy that I think is going to be a great either defensive end or that Jack linebacker. They've got some depth there and some guys that can get after the quarterback. I think Princely's going to the way he's talking and the way that his body looks, it looks like he's putting in the work. to kind of have that season. He doesn't want to be here in 2024. Princely wants to go out and get 15 sacks this year and be a first round draft pick. Can he do it?
Love that.
That's going to be up to him, but that's his mentality right now.
Yeah, wait for it. It's about to happen. I like the overall, what I'm hearing from the D-line. Like, there's some guys we're not even talking about, like Tyreek Sapp, that's going to contribute big time. Now, that rotation, I don't know how much of a drop-off we're gonna lose when we do rotate. I was high on Caleb Banks coming in, just from the small clips that I've seen, because it wasn't a lot out there, but his get-off was a little different at his size. It's super impressive. Mm-hmm. Chris McClelland, who we're not talking about a lot, but he showed some incredible flashes last year. Mm-hmm. And when they said he wasn't going to be starting, I knew he had something. I'm like, yo, if Chris ain't starting, if Caleb Banks is starting, and you got Cam Jackson, like, we got a stick on defense. What do you think, and what are you hearing as far as defensive tackle in that rotation? Like, we know Caleb Banks and Cam Jackson are the starters. What are you hearing on the second depth as far as defensive tackles?
I think you're going to get it. Obviously, will depend on package. Like, if you're third and short or goal line, like Dez is coming in. Tyreek Sapp's really interesting. He was a stand up, like, rush linebacker in high school, and now weighs, I think, like 270 pounds. Looks good. He's a guy who I think can play slide over if you're heavy, slide over and play defensive end or play defensive tackle. I think you're looking at Banks and Cam starting. McClelland and Sapp and Dez would be the guys right after them. There's just a lot of talent in that room. One thing I did notice on Saturday, Cam Jackson kind of just looked tired. Like, he was sucking wind by period four. He's gotten a lot bigger. It was hot. Maybe it was just one of those days. But did not look great to me on Saturday, but he has been great since he's been here.
And then let's talk a little bit about the defensive backfield. We'll talk about DBs, or we'll talk about corners first, and we'll get into safeties, because I think we might have a different starting two than what we've talked about on this show. We talked to Devin Moore out, upper body injury. Jakeem Jackson, Dijon Johnson slid into that number two cornerback behind Jason Marshall on the other side of the field. But Dijon Johnson, two pick sixes, I think, in one of the first couple practices of the season. Our fan base immediately said, "Who threw him?" But gotta be some exciting, moments for that defensive backfield. So, you know, Jalen Kimber, a guy that wore a club on his hand for most of the season last year, obviously a highly rated guy, comes, transfers from Georgia. Dijon Johnson, highly ranked four-star, flip him from Ohio State. Jakeem Jackson ends up being one of the top DBs in the country. He's coming in. Nick, Silk, your thoughts. What are you guys thinking, how that room kind of shakes out a little bit? And obviously it depends on how Devin Moore might be out for.
That's first off, I need Devin Moore healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, I pencil him in as a starter opposite of Jason Marshall, as long as he's healthy. You know, best ability is availability. So he gotta be out of the tub to make the club. All the cliches, but outside of that, Jalen Kimber is really good. No club, he's healthy, so it shouldn't be a huge drop off when Devin Moore leaves with him. And I love Dijon Johnson and Jakeem Jackson. What I'm seeing, I like them as recruits, but they're on campus now, so the stars don't matter. The discipline, the eye discipline, the foot discipline, the technique discipline from these guys is above average for a freshman. You know, like, some people were saying, like, the goal line stuff that we're doing, and our DBs were backpedaling as soon as the ball was snapped on off coverage and off ball things as a DB, and you just can't give up space on that. So just seeing a lot of that discipline. Dijon is an absolute dog. You got to find a way to put him on the field, corner, safety, whatever it may be. He's a corner, but you got to find a way to put these guys on the field. And I think, like, if there's any mishap at corner, injury, or, you know, if Devin Moore is not shaking back from injury, and maybe Kimber, whatever may go down, if somebody goes down, I feel really good about these freshmen stepping in and getting some minutes. I don't feel like that. These are guys that, you know, a lot of time offensive coordinators see a DB come in, they're freshmen. Yeah, we're gonna throw right at him.
Throw right at him, man.
These ain't them type of guys. We got some killers at cornerback, bro. for sure.
Yeah, I think Jakeem's really, really good. Dijon might be the one I've been most impressed with, especially since he's been on campus for what, like 6 weeks?
Right.
Really impressed with him. And then the other one that I like a lot is Jordan Castell, and you're seeing him get a lot of burn and making plays at safety. I think if we're talking about the position group that I came away most concerned about, it might be safety. Miguel Mitchell got run over by Trey Webb.
Let's talk about safety here in a second. So let's just finish up on DB or on cornerback real quick. Jason Marshall, obviously a lot of fans are expecting a lot of big things out of him this year. Highly, you know, regarded five-star recruit. Comes in fresh in year, plays well. Last year, defense as a whole just was bad. You know, not saying that he was necessarily bad. He was left out on an island a lot to make the ball or to make plays on the ball. But, you know, ultimately the DB room is so much impacted by, you know, the way that front seven plays. What did you see about Jason Marshall? Does he look to be as impressive as we're expecting him to be? You know, there's some mock drafts with him maybe in the first, early second round.
I mean, he's being put on an island now, and they're going to be playing more press man. I think that's what he's more suited for.
Yeah.
Played a lot of off last year, a lot of zone last year. It'll be interesting to me because I think the defense is going to bring pressure and bring it from different places. And does that mean you're playing more man, or are you dropping into like a cover three while you're bringing seven or eight? But what I have seen is that they definitely are playing closer to the line of scrimmage. I think that plays into Jason Marshall. And, you know, last year, I think at some point during the season, we had a conversation and we were just like, maybe it's not him. Maybe it's us. Maybe we just put too much on him and he's not the player that we were making him out to be. And maybe what we're seeing right now is just that, hey, he wasn't being used to get the best out of his game. So we'll see right now. But yeah, in terms of how the defense is being called, it's kind of just like, hey, Jason, you take that guy, just take him out of the game, and we'll play 10-on-10 over here.
Yeah, deny the ball defense is what Devin Moore said. Austin Armstrong calls a lot of press man defense this year, which I know has been something that Gator fans going back to Todd Grantham. So we're looking at 4 years ago now. We've seen situations where they'll show the field on camera and the DBs are maybe – barely on the screen in some of those plays, and especially it seemed to happen a lot on like third and six where they're 10-8
yards back. Yeah, it's crazy. And then the DB backpedals, like, yo, you're already behind the sticks, bro. Anyway,
all right, so Nick, we do have a question from somebody in here, and then we'll move to safeties real quick. This goes back to defensive line. Kelby Collins, have you seen much of him?
True
freshman.
He's just behind those guys that I was talking so highly of. He's behind Princely. He's behind Justice Boone. I think him and TJ Searcy are guys that are coming along. Kelby, I think, looks more the part. Like, TJ's big still, but Kelby came in looking maybe like a sophomore. Those are guys that I think have good futures. But, like, how often are you taking Princely off the field? And that's the spot that he's playing.
Mm. All right. And then let's get into safety real quick, and then we're going to break down the running back and linebacker position a little bit more in depth. Right now, we had up until this show, even last week, we thought that it would be Miguel Mitchell as one of the surefire starters there. Kamari Wilson. Those are probably the top two names that fans were familiar with. You get the transfer of RJ Moten. Then we thought, hey, maybe it would be Miguel Mitchell and RJ Moten in that group. But for all intents and purposes, it seems like Kamari Wilson might be playing the best of the three. Sure. Silk, Nick, what are your thoughts?
I don't like what I'm seeing from the transfer of Moten.
Okay.
I don't know, bro. It just doesn't look like a Florida safety right now. Didn't see a whole lot of plays being made from him. Right now, I got Kamari and Castell being my safeties, unless I see something different. Miguel Mitchell, you know, I was leading that high, but he's not a sure tackler. You know, I'm hearing it from guys that was there, hit me up on the phone calls, like, yeah, you got to shut down the high, Silk. Like, it's just not happening. So He still got opportunity to prove in camp here, but from what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing actually with Jordan Castell, like, it's hard to put a freshman safety back there, especially in the game one like Utah. So we may go with, you know, veteran older guys to start the Utah game because it's just an on-the-road matchup. You're playing a top 15 team on the road. So I get it, but how I see it shaking out throughout the season, it may be Kamari and Castell. We'll see what the other safeties, the young safeties, Thornton and some other guys we got could do. But right now, you got to give Kamari his flowers. He's looking better, you know.
Yeah.
Like he's looking more fluid. Whatever he did in the offseason in the weight room, whatever the training staff did with him, he's looking more like a fluid safety than a linebacker, which a lot of people was trying to move him to. So you got to give him his flowers, man. He's getting better. He's looking better. So one time for Kamari Wilson. We'll see how it all plays out. But right now, he's definitely playing the best back there from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think Castell stands out to me. Moten, I think there was like a stat that like he hadn't given up like a touchdown pass. SEC speed's a little different than the Big Ten speed.
For sure.
So it's just not a position right now that I have a lot of confidence in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's probably the position group that we've been the most skittish on giving a ton of flowers just because of what we saw last year. We saw some depth issues too. Now, obviously, you go and you recruit pretty well. You get some good guys, Jordan Castell being one of them, to come in. You put yourself in a situation where you have, you know, one of the wide receivers, you know, move to that defensive backfield, you know, whether that's a chance for him or whether it's just to try to shore up that depth. But from everything that I've seen, it's Kamari Wilson one. And I think even when we talked about it last week, we were thinking Kamari might be two or three. But I think he's got that spot locked down. And then, you know, Miguel Mitchell and Jordan Castell and RJ Moten might be fine, you know, fighting for that fourth spot. But I think Kamari's going to be your lead playtimer at that position.
For sure. So I do want to see more. I didn't see a whole lot of practice clips of the other safety. I seen Castell and some of the young boys getting some one-on-one action and seeing how they, you know, break on the ball. I didn't see a lot of that from even Moten or Kamari. I like the way Kamari's just looking and what I'm hearing from people. Mm-hmm. But from the clips I seen, you know, I just didn't see any action. And RJ Moten is a guy that's supposed to come in and bring a lot of leadership and you know, experience. But it's just not translating from what I'm hearing to the field right now. So I am very high on Jordan Castell in the safeties. We'll see how it all plays out. It's just he's a freshman. And playing freshman safety can get a little spooky.
Yeah, we've seen
Armstrong asked a lot of the safeties in terms of checks, calls. You got to know what the other 10 guys in the field are doing to play safety in this defense.
Absolutely. We're going to break down linebacker and running back a little bit more here. Let's talk special teams real quick, Nick. Punt returner, do we have any idea of what we're doing at punt and kick return? Obviously, with Ricky Pierce all out.
I didn't tweet about it much. Let me pull this up. I made a little list. But there were some drops.
Yep.
ETM is back there. Caleb Douglas is back there. And Eugene Wilson was back there. Did see Eugene Wilson drop one, but that's a guy who I'd like to see back there, him or Caleb Douglas. Sure. I think I'm excited to see Ricky. Like, on the other hand, though, it's like, okay, at this point of his career, Eugene Wilson doesn't mean what Ricky Pearsall means to the offense. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to have somebody staring up into the sky while people are running at him, waiting for a ball to come down, maybe I put the freshman back there instead of putting my best offensive player back there.
I like that take. I think Ricky is definitely our best route runner and probably, you know, the go to receiver. But upside, he's definitely the best receiver. Just a little wordplay there, Nick. But I like the upside of Eugene. How fast he is, how explosive he is, returning those kicks. But you got to be able to catch it first. But none of it matters. So
right. Nick, your punter makes the watch list for the Ray Guy Award. which is outstanding. Jeremy Crawshaw. So exciting news for him. Let's see.
Well, Trevor. Billy Napier's a known hater of all punters, going for it on fourth down all the time. Jeremy Crawshaw didn't even have enough punts last year to qualify for the Ray Guy Award.
Mm.
I like that. I did see, though. Bring that back.
I heard something the other day, and this number is going to be wrong, but something like 46% of all punters in college football at the FBS level are from Australia. So
that's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing something Australia. Different out there. Yeah. So shout out to Australia, Jeremy Crawshaw. Trevor Etienne makes the Paul Hornig watch list. There was a number of other Gators that made a watch list as well.
Is that a rugby thing? Why they all like, you think it's them getting rugby players?
I think Aussie rules football, rugby. And then I also think that they have like very good training and development programs over there for the
kickers. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pro Kick Australia in Sydney.
So, and then I think you do a really good job of marketing them. And then you know how these things go. You get a couple people that are super successful and you're like, I can't miss on this. Right. So you go and, you know,
go shopping for kickers in Australia. I like it.
Punters. All right. And you save a little NIL money too, you know?
One battle that we're not talking about is like, if Florida's going to be in close games, I don't know who the starting kicker is going to be, whether it's Trace Mack or Adam Mahalik. I think they both looked fine. Didn't really extend them out past like 40, 42 yards in practice on Saturday. You gave Smack a scholarship to come to Florida. Mahalik was given a scholarship over the summer. I don't think you need two scholarship kickers. But if Florida's going to be in tight games, you can't have – like Adam Mahalik last year had the worst kicking season since Austin Harden, when I had like PTSD looking that stat up, because I remembered we'd have to like go to the games early and we would like tally what Austin Harden was doing in pregame. And it was like, hey, Austin Harden was 7-14 during his practice. During his practice yeah. reps before he was the game
it that day.
Yeah, so
he was in his bag. So.
I don't know. I don't know who will win that. One of the analysts who has been tweeting nice things about all the players had a tweet last week saying that Adam Mahalik is ice and that he had won the job, but I don't know if he has. But to me, that's for a team that's going to have to grind out some games, grind out some wins. Yeah, you'd like to have a kicker that is consistent.
Yes, big part of the position. All right, any final thoughts before we break down running back and linebacker a little bit more?
Nah, man. You know, we've just been run down on some Utes Week 1. That's all. What we got next?
We got let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at FanGo Tickets. Go visit them. FanGo, it's FanGoTickets.com. Think of it as Airbnb for your season tickets. Go and list your tickets. Individuals can go and buy. There are no fees for the buyer of those tickets. So again, started by a UF alum and is very interested in helping grow this platform to try to fight back against some of these Ticketmaster and other websites that have unruly charges for buyers. So go visit FanGoTickets.com. Florida Gator tickets, Cleveland Browns, Tampa Bay Lightning, Tampa Bay Rays, Bucks are on there as well. So go check them out, FanGoTickets.com. All right, so let's get into running back. Montrell Johnson, Trevor Etienne, Cam Carroll, and Treyon Webb are your four, although I think the first three that we named are going to get a bulk of those. Trevor Etienne, the guy that's made a couple watch lists, a guy that it seems like the media is very hype on, makes third team All-SEC. Montrell Johnson not getting the love that we thought. Is that a name recognition thing? Is that just – what is it? Because I mean, I think Montrell Johnson's your best running back.
Yeah, I don't know. I asked that, like, just maybe even like to myself, just sitting in a room like a crazy person, being like, "What about Montrell?"
Room, yeah, yeah.
Just can't get too much Gator love out there, so they just pick one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, to me, they're kind of interchangeable. They're definitely different running backs, but I feel like they're going to carry the ball in terms of, you know, just number of carries similar. I don't think one is head and shoulders better. And, like, Montrell got no love, no preseason love, and ETN got a little bit. But to me, that's 1-2. It doesn't matter who starts, you know, who gets the first carry. I think those guys are going to be, you know, the engine that makes Florida's offense go this year.
Yeah, I don't even have a favorite out of the two. I like both of those guys. They just both very good running backs, both patient guys that'll wait for things to develop. They're pro backs. And I don't know how anybody could leave Montrell off of any running back watch list. He's going to be the real deal. So I don't care about the watch list a lot. I think it's a little bit of – give Montrell some added motivation. I like that. Yeah, give him some slight something to be mad at this season and run angry. If when we get to Utah, he can unleash this thing like he did last year. But no, I think I view those guys just as valuable. It's 1A, 1B. It's just pick your medicine. You know, pick your
poison. And I think you saw that last year, right? You know, the top three running backs for the Gators last year were Montrell Johnson, 11.92 attempts per game at 64.69 yards per game. Trevor Etienne had just a hair over 9 rushes a game. And then Naquan Wright, who transferred, was getting about 6.7 carries per game. Obviously, you drop off Naquan Wright, you add in Cam Carroll. Anthony Richardson was averaging about 8.5 rushes per game last year as well. So obviously, we don't expect Graham Mertz to run the ball certainly as frequently, but of Montrell Johnson, Trevor Etienne, and Cam Carroll, who do you think the order goes to for most attempts, most yards, most touchdowns? Like, kind of what are your thoughts, or do you just think it's truly going to be a 1A, 1B with Cam Carroll being probably a closer 2 than we thought?
Yeah, I think it's 1A, 1B. Like, I don't think you won't have more than 20 carries separate, in my opinion.
On the season?
Separate. Unless there's like an injury or something, you won't have, you know, a big separation between Etienne and Johnson. In my opinion, Cam Carroll's been the best pass catcher. I've been really impressed with how he runs. He runs hard, tough guy to bring down. Made me eat my words. I thought he was crazy for coming to indoor running back room with those two guys. Saw him maybe twice and was like, okay, never mind. I get it. I get it. He's great. And Treyon Webb has flashed, but like, you're just a young buck in a really, you know, deep, talented deep room. So I think Florida's running back, you're fortunate to have this group of four guys. And even if somebody were to go down, I don't think you really lose a step from Johnson to Etienne to Carroll, and I think Treyon Webb will continue getting better and continue to try to work into that group.
Yeah, going back here, you mentioned pass catching. I'm just going to pull up some stats from last year. We saw
they were not involved.
Yeah, Etienne had 9 catches for 66 yards. Montrell Johnson 12 catches for 58 yards. Lorenzo Lingard, 2 catches for 22 yards, and Naquan Wright, 1 catch for 14 yards. Obviously, not a big part of that offense last year. What did I say? 12. So, you maybe had 8% of your catches last year from running backs. Do you see that being a little bit more based on what you've seen and some of the involvement of the running backs in that passing game? And maybe what some of Graham Mertz's tooling is to include them and obviously the skill set that they have, and maybe some of the shortfalls that the Gators have at the wide receiver position as they continue to develop players.
Yeah, I think that should be something too, especially that you don't have the kind of athlete that you had last year. Like, you're not going to get the 90-yard, 80-yard touchdown run from your quarterback. Use your running back as an extension of the passing game. I think Etienne and Montrell are getting better in terms of pass catching. But I think you need to get those guys involved more, especially when you look at what you've lost at receiver and what you have coming back.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Anything else on running back? I mean, I think that that's a position group that we've been very high on for the entire offseason. It seems like they've come into practice as good as advertised, and Cam Carroll's situation probably better than advertised, right? Tryon Webb, I know that you said is doing well too. A guy, you know, four-star guy, you know, recruited very heavily for Florida, was wanted by Juwan Sider and wanted by the folks up at Penn State who recruit the position really well. Came in not as many flowers as maybe some other running backs in that recruiting class might have gotten, but has come in as impressed thus far. But I don't think that there's much, you know, more that you could want, you know, out of this. You have the mix of size and speed and kind of the breakaway speed as well as the vision. They all seem to have great vision and be able to get to that open hole and attack. So I think that the position group that we've been one of the most excited about all season or all offseason, pardon me, has been the running back room. And it seems like they are doing well. Obviously, without the same running threat that you had with Anthony Richardson, there's a different kind of focus on you as the running back. But still, I think that this is going to be a group that has an even better year than last year. And I'm very, very excited. I think that that's what's going to make this offense hum this year.
Like it when it hums, man. Real quick, what do you guys think about the quarterback running with AR going? I still think we do some running. Of course, it's not going to be a 6'4", 250-pound guy making guys miss. We all wanted more running out of AR last year. I thought he could have been way more productive with his running. But I think Graham Mercer is definitely a capable runner. He could get busy a little bit with his legs. What do you guys think about running from the quarterback position this year?
Well, when I said that, I just meant like you don't have that dynamic runner,
right?
Like,
right.
Like Anthony Richardson won the Utah game last year, and Amari Bernie. Shout out to Amari. But like you're not gonna have you. Graham Mertz isn't liable to go for 70 yards on any given play like Anthony was. But I still think you can add in some of the quarterback run option kind of stuff. But you just don't have that same kind of big play waiting to happen, home run waiting to happen in Graham Mertz running.
Right. Yeah, I think the quarterback position still gets active with the running. What you got, Dan?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I think Graham Mertz, and I've said it for a while now, and I think you're seeing a little bit more, is not, you know, a Peyton Manning. You know, you mentioned it earlier, Nick. He's not Peyton Manning. He's not just a guy that's just going to sit there and be this blundering guy that falls over his feet if he tries to run the ball past the line of scrimmage, right? I think he's got some speed. I think he's an athletic player. I think that we saw that in high school. You saw it sometimes in college. You know, it depends on, you know, probably what that position group looks like at the backup quarterback role. But at some point in time, you have to will that team. And if that means trying to break off a 7-yard run for a first down, you have to be able to keep that tool in your toolbox and be able to use it. And I think that Graham Mertz is both faster and more athletic than the statue that people have compared him to. I mean, it seems to me like this entire offseason, now all of a sudden people are like, oh, like, he's not a statue. Is that like Graham Mertz was like collapsing in quicksand? Like all of those quicksand comments that we used to talk about, like in like fourth grade, and you'd be like, what to worry about quicksand when you're an adult, right? Like, I think that that's like what a lot of people assume that Graham Mertz did every time he stepped in the pocket. And I just don't think that that's the case. He's certainly not going to be as athletic as Anthony Richardson. In fact, no quarterback in history has ever been as athletic as Anthony Richardson was, right? But I don't think he's a statue. And, you know, I do think, you know, he can make plays, you know, with his feet, and I'm looking forward to seeing him prove all the haters and losers wrong, as our former president would say.
What we at with? We still at misdemeanor murder, or we sliding back to possibly a homicide or a murder?
Ooh, all right. I think we're still at misdemeanor. We got to see it, right? Okay. You know, but now it's not just like a petty theft, you know? There's a little bit more to it, you know.
He's not jaywalking now.
Yeah, it's not just jaywalking, you know. It's not a driver's license that went expired, or a tag that went expired, you know.
Right.
He was loitering, then he was jaywalking,
trespassing.
Trespassing.
Citation. He was going towards citation merch, but
conspiracy.
Yeah.
That's
Hassan Cook, appreciate the super chat donation. If you have a question, let us know. Let's get into the linebacker side of the ball, or the linebacker position on the defensive side of the ball. Let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. That's where this shirt is from.
one of my favorites to wear.
Cones nice, don't drip right there, man.
Yeah. Nice soft cotton. Go check them out. Homefieldapparel.com. Promo code Stadium and Gale will get you 15% off of your first order. You know the workaround that if this is not your first order. Again, homefieldapparel.com. Best vintage Florida Gator clothing out there. And if you have a friend, family, member, colleague, spouse, whatever it might be that went to, I think almost 100 different schools now, go check them out. Homefieldapparel.com. All right, let's get to linebacker. Got a lot to talk about there. Overall thoughts on the group, just holistically, before we talk about names here.
Overall, I'm higher on the group than I was in spring. Shamar going down, of course, I think he's going to be, is what it is. We didn't get to see Taraja Mitchell in spring. He was healing up a little bit. But just watching with Shamar down, what we're hearing, a lot of these guys are stepping up, and I think we got quality depth at all three slots. There's going to be some drop off from Shamar because I just think he's a different type of a linebacker. He's going to be a household name, I think, if he's healthy. I mean, a lot of people going to get to know exactly who Shamar is game one. But overall, on the position, you know, they flipped the room. I mean, our linebacker has been a struggle. We had a lot of tweener guys in the past, athletic safeties that were trying to make linebackers. We got a room full of pure linebackers. Want to see how Derek Wingo plays out. Been hearing good things about him. Just want to see more of it, but complete flip of the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's run through the list of names real quick. Hold on 1 second, Nick, just so everybody knows the names that we're going to be talking about here. Shamar James, Derek Wingo, Scooby Williams, Taraja Mitchell, Deuce Spurlock, the transfer from Michigan, Jaden Robinson, the freshman, and Manny Nunnery, the transfer from Houston. There are two walk-ons, Kenny Anahi and Justin Pelak, in that group as well.
I think it's Pelak.
Sorry, go ahead, Nick.
But Pelak. I think it's Pelak, but Anahi. Sure. Look at you. Look at you. I think my question, Silk, we're bringing up the what you called the midget tight end, the slow midget tight end from Utah. Is Shamar James, can Shamar James cover Brant Keithy, who I told you would kill Florida last year based on knowing the linebackers that Florida had and went for like $9, $1.04, and a touchdown.
And caught in hell.
Yeah. Most importantly, he got that.
He did. And that's a 10 catch.
I just mentioned that. Yeah.
10
he's
catches.
He's a talented guy. He's a release valve. Like that's a good spot for him, right? So I think
he's also coming back from an ACL injury too. But his was earlier than Rising's.
Right. So I expect him to have a good game again, but just won't be enough again, Nick. So I think Shamar can run with him, but that guy's gonna get his. He's an NFL tight end, so he's gonna get his. I think. I don't want to get too far into the Utah game, but the Utah game is going to come down to them being able to run the ball. They're not going to be able to drop back and just pass on us, bro. We're going to push that pocket. We're going to come off the edge with that new Uno. It's going to be a different type of game than what people think is about to happen in Utah, bro. I can't wait to get out there, but they're going to have to be able to run the ball and slow down that pass for us in our defensive line. If they trying to drop back and throw to that tight end, it's going to be murderer's row.
So Dan touched on it a little bit with Taraja. Kind of just like put him in bubble wrap in the spring. He's a guy who had an injury last year, has had some injuries at Ohio State. Came in, and I was so impressed. First practice that we walked into, he's calling plays and calling checks out. And I'm like, okay, this guy's been here 3 weeks, and he's already leading and commanding the defense. So I was impressed with that. Maybe you should expect that from a six-year guy, but it's a brand new defense, and that impressed me. I've been impressed with him sideline to sideline. Like, I don't think he's as athletic as Shamar. I don't think he's as athletic as like Scooby or fast as those guys. But like a Zach Thomas, Ray Lewis, they might not have been the biggest or the fastest, but their instincts and the way they can run from sideline to sideline, they put themselves in position to make plays. So I like Taraja Mitchell. I think he's
going Nick. I'm just going to write down that you're comparing Taraja Mitchell
to Zach Thomas and Ray Lewis. I like that.
I'm just saying that.
When Nick go positive, he go positive big.
Yeah.
He go positive
big. He could have said like an Antonio Morrison. You know, right. He went for the big dog. And I appreciate that, Nick. It's what brings us the best content out there.
Shout out to Hall of Famer, Finally, Zach Thomas. Finally yeah. getting his just due.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then Derek Wingo is a guy that hasn't been healthy, just hasn't had the opportunity. He's had a crazy career because he was a edge rusher at St. Thomas, came in the 2020 year, and guys started getting COVID, guys started getting hurt, and they're like, hey, by the way, now you need to learn the Mike and the Will and the Sam. We need you to learn all three spots because you might have to start next week, and then I think the Mizzou game got canceled. But after that, he's had shoulder injuries. He had a shoulder that needed surgery. Then Ventrell got booted out of that game, and Wingo was going to have to start against FSU. He broke his foot on the Monday of FSU week and played on like a broken foot that ended up having to get surgery. So we talked to him on Saturday, and he just looked so happy to not be injured or not be playing through something. to me, it'll be interesting to see, does he take a step? Is he in a rotation as like the third guy? What does Scooby do? Scooby's a guy that they tried to move out to edge. They moved him back. I don't know what Scooby does. And then Manny Nunnery, can he get in the mix? It's a deep room. Like you said, so you flip the room. You lost like 120 starts.
That's
120 yeah, that's games a lot. Played yeah. between the two linebackers that were drafted.
You flip the room, you bring in a couple guys, Manny Nunnery, Deuce Spurlock, and Tarajay Mitchell. Now you're counting on those guys. You know, you're Shamar James, you recruited him. Derek Wingo, you inherit him, but you know, a guy that was a highly thought of guy, Scooby Williams, you know, again, a lot of fans were very, very excited when Florida took him from Alabama. Jane Robinson is a freshman, right? So like you flip the room, but there's just a lot of names right now, right? Not yeah. a lot of production, you know, Tarajay Mitchell, highly thought of guy, injured, I think almost every year he was at Ohio State, right? Deuce Spurlock, redshirt freshman. So imagine, you know, a guy that just sat on the bench at Florida last year, right? So, again, Jaden Robinson, a guy that, you know, Florida gets, flips him from South Carolina, I believe. You know, but, again, those are some names, and now you need your Shamar James and your Derek Wingos and your Scooby Mitchells, and you need those guys that transferred in and the guys that you went after, and Florida was very picky in the transfer portal this year. It's just a lot of names to me right now, and I'm hopeful, and I know that Shamar James, in my opinion, can be very good, and I think Scooby Williams and Tarajay Mitchell can be good. I want to start to see it out of Derek Wingo. You know, again, he's healthy. But right now I have some concern just because we don't know, in my opinion, what we have. We have some athleticism. We have some talent, but we just don't have, like, the proven skill set.
The best thing these linebackers got, this was a front four in front of right. them. Like, that's mm-hmm. a linebacker's dream, is to have space eaters and guys that are causing havoc up front. They can just roam free. You're not getting linemen getting on the second level, and they got to mm-hmm. deal with that stuff. So that's going to be the biggest blessing for these linebackers. And I believe in Tarajay Mitchell. I know, like, Shamar mm-hmm. has the biggest upside, and that's the young phenom. But just being around Tarajay, we did some content with him with Nick was there. With Beyond the Chump show that we rolling out, just his leadership. You know, he was trying to itch out of there, get to the weight room while he was there. He's rushing the content a little bit because he had to get over to the weight room to lead. So I just like the quality of guys they brought in. I believe in their skill set, but most importantly, like I was saying, that front four defensive line is very important to linebackers having good years and being productive.
Keeping linebackers clean.
Facts.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Derek Wingo. He was named to Warfel. The Warfel Trophy award list, or a watch list, which is college football's premier award for community service. So shout out to him. Assuming Shamar James comes back healthy in the next few weeks, your lineup for linebackers is Mitchell, James, and Wingo?
Yeah.
So, and then maybe Scooby Williams in there as well.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds about right.
If you were going three deep, I think you'd have Spurlock and Nunnery, like third string.
Okay. What is the word from Spurlock? That was an interesting take. Wasn't mad at his high school film, but I like these guys transfer portal evaluation. So what's been the vibes with Spurlock?
Kid from Alabama, went up. He's just young. Like, only appeared in two games, I think, at Michigan last year. Was just a freshman, but like a freshman on a playoff team. So like, there's no slight to him that he didn't play. He gets coached a lot, I think is a nice way to say it. He gets coached a lot, by Jay Bateman when we're out there. But young guy, essentially treat him as just a true freshman because he is only been in college 1 year and now he's in a brand new scheme, brand new system. So, I don't think he plays a ton this year. But a guy that could grow into a linebacker that starts for you somewhere down the line.
Yeah. And what is decent for, you know, some of these guys is while the coaching, the position coaches haven't changed, much on the defensive side of the ball, there is a new defensive coordinator as a whole. So it does give everybody kind of the same opportunity to learn, and you don't feel like you're so far back from a scheme perspective, right? So, you know, again, you know, it's now up to these guys, and I think that there's a lot of, you know, talent there. Now it's just a matter of putting it all together. But, you know, I think the change in defense coordinator does allow, you know, somebody like a Deuce Spurlock or a Manny Nunnery or Taraji Mitchell, whoever it might be, to be able to come in, and they're learning with everybody else. And I think that when you learn with other people, sometimes that just makes everybody together better as a whole, right? Because now you all have to be bought in. It's not just I'm taking over the scheme that I already know and everything else, and you're the one that has to kind of learn it on your own. Now we have to study together and grow together and build together. So it might even be a little bit of a blessing in disguise, despite the fact that it looks like Austin Armstrong is leaps and bounds better than Patrick Toney, at least in likability for now, you know?
Yeah. And like my man Fragrance Jones just said in those comments, smash that like button. We got some people vibing out with us. Smash that like button, beef in the comments, argue in the comments, ask us questions. If you got a super chat, you want to jump towards the front of the line with some questions, just shoot us a super chat.
Yeah,
for sure.
We are nearing the end of our show. Let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit them. The best place to buy your Florida Gators wear and tailgate supplies, accessories, and everything else on Archer Road, right off of I-75 there, right on your way to the stadium, right near that Chick-fil-A. You're going to see beautiful Alumni Hall. Go check them out or go visit them at alumnihall.com for all anything that you could ever want Florida Gators related. Gentlemen, any final thoughts before we head out of here? We talked about Shamar's injury a bit earlier in the show. It does seem to be he might be out for a little while with a lower body injury, but should be back before the season starts.
Yeah, you guys got to go back to the early in the show.
Yeah.
DK pulling up asking about Max Brown at QB2. Yeah, I already told
it's about Nick 12 Ebron. Minutes into the show.
Yeah.
Based on the reps, he's not QB2, but we did talk about if different scenarios of, okay, well, if this happened, who would then go in? So, rewind.
All right, then. Silk, you have Song of the Week, I believe. Yeah, you have Song of the Week. So, any final thoughts before we head out of here, gentlemen?
Nah, Nick,
what's practice schedule like this week?
I was just pulling it up, Dan. No practice today. We just have – they practiced on Sunday. It was closed. Monday, just media. I think we talked to Chris McClellan and Damian George today. Tuesday, practice. Wednesday, practice. And Thursday is a scrimmage.
Nice.
Perfect. And they're doing that these throughout random points of the day. Like, I know they had, like, a 7:15 practice. I know they had a 12 where they're trying to simulate kickoff times and
do all that kind of stuff. I don't know what it is. So, like, Tuesday's at 11 a.m., Wednesday's at 3, the scrimmage is at 1. Then Sunday they practice again at 3. So it's kind of all over the place. We did have that one late practice. Maybe it's different kickoff times. I think aren't the first four games all like 7 p.m.?
Yeah, they're all night games, yeah.
7, 8 p.m.?
Yeah, except that game in Utah, I think, kicks off at probably 6, right? It's at 7:30, maybe 5:30. So you guys will have to deal with the mountain time out there. So,
yeah, go follow Beyond the Chump, new NIL platform that the network's rolling out. Gonna be doing some NIL content with athletes in a barbershop setting. Real fire. And we dropped small clips of content out there, but the first episode will be dropping the day before the game. We're gonna drop it that Wednesday before the Utah game. And also Stadium Miguel, we're gonna roll out some new content this fall. Mm-hmm. We're gonna bring on a legend. This is what is this? Like a, what do you call it? It's a Stadium Miguel show. We're doing a film session with Riedel Anthony out in Tampa. We're gonna do it. If you want to pull up live, we'll be at a restaurant out there in the Bay. We also stream it live, but Riedel Anthony's gonna be breaking down the game from the Saturday before on a Sunday morning. So just be on the lookout for that content as well this fall.
Exciting stuff happening over here, and we appreciate you guys for tuning in each and every week. And please do, before we head out of here, please take care of our sponsors as well: Allen Horn, State Farm Insurance, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, or Alabama. The Gataverse, GATAVERSE.io, Gataverse.io, support NIL platforms. Support Home Field Apparel, support Alumni Hall, and support our friends over at FanGo Tickets. So, Silk, you got song of the week?
Yeah, let me get Rex Life Raj, Where I Belong.
Perfect. All right, we'll see you guys at the same corner, same time next week.
All of my thoughts be clouding my judgment sometimes. Backtracking and second guessing like I don't know nothing sometimes. Seems like I'm spending hell of my time to figure it out. Who are these niggas around? They just gonna ruffle my feathers, stuck in my wings, can't get off the ground. I got the vision, they don't got the vision. I'm well aware of all my decisions. When I need them and I call them, everybody missing. When I got it, they come back around and shit is fishing. I keep betting on Faraji even when it's risky. My anxiety been finding ways to keep me busy. Guess it's a blessing in disguise. I get lost in my mind. Still I rise every time. Still I rise. It's been a hell of a ride. Niggas been off of my ocean. Know that I just get better with time. Know that I'll never rewind. No, I don't nickel and dime. I'd rather put in the time. I'd rather work. I'd rather own all my own shit. I feel better when it's mine. Know I'ma shine. You know it. Walk in the room so glowing. You see the light on me. Look how it shines on me. I might have been down, but not for long. When you turn around, know I'll be gone. And be at the top where I belong. Where I belong. Spend a lot of time to right the wrongs. Then I let go of all my flaws. And headed to the top where I belong. Yeah. Where I belong.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.